So I imagine that as we read the story of the feeding of the 5,000, as we heard our gospel for today, that you probably envisioned it happening one of two ways. I've found that people kind of hear this story from two different camps. The first camp pictures that, you know, on that day that Jesus did some divine duplication of those loaves and fish and kind of mass-produced a large quantity of food that then got spread out so that way everyone was able to eat and eat their fill. And then there's a different camp that tends to hear this story from more of a communal miracle, that because Jesus led by example and the disciples offered what they had, that the whole crowd was moved to a change in heart and spirit to offer up what they had among them so that all people, regardless of how much they had brought, had enough to eat and that there was an abundance left over. Those are kind of the two main ways that I have heard people, you know, understand or interpret this story. And while both of those understandings honor the sentiment that God's kingdom is one of abundance, where people's physical needs are a concern and are met, and that community is grown in the breaking of the bread, you know, I think it's also important for us not to just rush to the ending, but to pull back and really take a look at how this plays out from the beginning. So again, Matthew tells us that, you know, Jesus had withdrawn for some solitude, but the crowds, they knew, they were savvy to where he was going. So they all left on foot and gathered so that way when Jesus came off the lake, that they were already there waiting for him. And seeing the crowd, Jesus was moved by compassion for them and so began to heal people and cure the sick. And this went on and on and on into the evening where the sun was going down and the disciples were like, "Hey, Jesus, it's getting late. Man, you should send all these people away so they can go into the villages and get something for themselves to eat." Which I think is an interesting shift. You know, because here they are doing ministry, you know, Jesus caring for the people that are gathered, attending to their needs, to their ailments, healing and curing. But as the need of hunger builds, the disciples don't, like, see that as part of what they're doing there that day. I don't know if it was, like, too mundane or something, that they're like, "Yeah, of course if people need healing, they got to come to us. But you can feed yourselves, people. Just go, you take care of that one on your own. You don't need to come to us for that." You know, maybe that's too within the reach of everyday life for them to feel like it was really ministry. Or, you know, perhaps the disciples were just confronted by the sheer numbers in front of them. You know, maybe they had pulled together and they're like, "Hey, what'd you guys bring to eat?" And like, "We just got these loaves and fish. This is never going to go around. We got to send people away. This is too many people." You know, maybe they were just like, "This is a numbers thing, Jesus. You got to send people away." But whatever they were speculating, whatever they were feeling in that moment that caused them to say, "Hey, Jesus, you should send people away. Let them fend for themselves on this one." Jesus responds and says, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Give them something to eat. Jesus, don't you see there's over 5,000? There's got to be like just 5,000 guys here, much less all the women and children that are running around that apparently we didn't count for the head count. plus them. They're here too. What do you mean just give them something to eat?" You know, Matthew doesn't tell us that the disciples said that. I think they maybe had learned not to quite give so much sass to Jesus at that point. But I can imagine them thinking it as they responded by just saying, "You know, we have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus says, "Bring them here." And so they gather them and they bring them forward at Jesus' command. Now, again, I want to pause for just a moment and notice that when the disciples brought to Jesus' attention that need of the hunger, that God's response wasn't just to immediately conjure manna from heaven. Nor did Jesus just snap his fingers and will away the hunger of the crowd. make it a non-issue. Those things didn't happen. Rather, Jesus asked his followers to offer what they already had. And in that moment of Jesus' compassion and heart for the crowd, meeting the disciples' obedience to Jesus' command, a miracle happens. Everyone gets fed. Like a seed of a mustard plant bursting into growth, the offering of loaves and fish spread until all were filled to overflowing. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A meal where all are welcome at the feast, where there is abundance enough for all people. You know, as I was preparing for the message this week and immersing myself in the story of the feeding of the 5,000, I was reminded of a different story I heard once about a congregation whose church building was badly damaged in a storm. And the roof was in need of complete repair, and it was going to be an extensive and expensive overhaul. And so as they gathered that Sunday morning, you know, they were kind of feeling the weight and the pressure of that need. But as the preacher rose before them, said, "You know, as you know, we're facing these expensive repairs, but I have both some good news and some bad news. And the good news is that God has already given us the money that we need for the restoration of the roof." And people were really excited, and they were fired up, until the preacher said, "But the bad news is, it's still in your pockets, so we're going to send the plate around, and you got to give it up, because we got to fix this roof." Isn't that kind of what we experience in today's world, that that God's ministry doesn't seem to happen as much of manna from heaven as it is someone saying, like, "This is a need, and you got to help us foot the bill. You got to come to the plate on this one. We're all in this together." And I've met some folks who, when they hear the story of the feeding of the 5,000 in that light, and this idea of everybody coming together and it being this communal experience rather than some magical, you know, divine act, that they feel like that cheapens it somehow. That they're like, "Well, I guess that's technically a miracle, I suppose. I mean, you still fed all those people and they were hungry. Yeah, I guess. I'll give you that one. It's not walking on water, Jesus, but I guess it counts." But something that I've found over my years is that it's easier to see a miracle from some vantage points than others. You know, that perhaps if we're thinking about the hunger of the crowd in the context that we might be familiar with, of just saying, like, "Well, you know, they probably just had to go, you know, I guess not drive, like walk 20 minutes and get to town, and then they'd buy something, and then they'd be all set." Like, yeah, that makes it seem less impactful. But we really don't know what brought those people there. We don't know how far they had walked. We don't know what their capacity was to be able to feed or provide for themselves. Or even thinking about the context of the day, what it meant to be seated at the table with all the people around them based off of where they fit into society. We don't really know the makeup of that crowd. So it can be hard to lock into what that might have meant for those individuals. So allow me to offer perhaps a more modern example of a miracle as an explanation for what I'm talking about it being looking different from different sides. Some of you have had an opportunity to meet my daughter Lily, or at least to see her in passing as I'm kind of carrying her around the church. She's a delightful bundle of joy. But something you may not know is that she had kind of a rough arrival into this world, and we spent the first 100 days of her life in the NICU, which, if any of you have known someone that has had to hang out with their child or loved one in the NICU, like, that's a pretty harrowing experience. And 3 months of that is really a marathon at that point. And while we were in the NICU, while we were spending that time caring for our daughter and trying to do right by her in the midst of all the medical professionals around us, our families rallied around us. You know, we were living in Madison, and our families lived in Stevens Point and Green Bay, respectively. But in spite of the multiple-hour drive, every week our families would come down and visit us, pray with us, sit with Lily so we could attend to other needs of life that continued to go on, brought meals, helped clean the house while we were staying in the hospital. And I'll never know what it looked like from the vantage points of our parents for them to come down and be with us and support us. But I can tell you with full assurance and honesty from our vantage point, they were a miracle for me and Catherine, for Lily, to be able to be with us and stand with us in that time of need. And in that same way, it might be easy for us here as a congregation to miss from our vantage point, to not quite see from our humble offerings of boxes of mac and cheese piling up on a pallet, or meals or cookie donations that go out to other congregations or communities as our members serve alongside other people, serving meals to those in need, or even our continued support of Sussex Outreach Services and all the people who are able to have their needs met because of that organization, because of our support of it. But for the people who receive those meals, who experience that care and concern as a tangible reminder that they are seen, that their needs are known and cared about, that they are worthy and loved, well, that meal might be the miracle that they need in that moment for themselves, for their families. And that's what God's kingdom is like. When the people of God come together in love for God and for one another, affirming that through their words and through their actions, so that the sick might be healed, the suffering might be comforted, that justice would prevail, that people would know that they are loved and worthy of love. And so when we seek after the heart of God, when we open our eyes to the needs of people and community around us, when we offer what we have out of humility and obedience, seeking to love God through our actions towards others, trusting in God's faithfulness, the miracles can and do happen. Amen.